we don't want to set our kids up to have an uphill battle mm-hmm. for the rest of their life, trying to believe true things about themselves
yeah.
and good things about themselves.
Right.
We want to create the path of least resistance for mm-hmm. those thoughts. And we want those thoughts to be very normal.
Yes.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Making History. My name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the Hesses. I'm glad to be back.
Yes, we are. It's always a pleasure.
It is. It is. This week was Memorial Day. So we had our annual My Side of the Family get together.
Yep. Which is always so much fun.
It is fun.
Good crowd shows up. The kids swim, whether it's
swim
weather or not.
Somehow it's been chilly.
Yeah.
The last couple of days again.
Yeah. I don't understand what's going on with the weather.
Yeah.
It's endless rain and it's like a little bit cold and it's May. So.
Yeah. I don't know if we've ever had this much rain consecutively.
No.
It's been like a month.
I don't think so because we have puddles in our yard constantly.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've like ever had puddles in our yard.
Right.
Or like in our front flower beds. It's just like pools
yeah.
out there. It's crazy.
Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah.
But we had fun. Usually, because we have lots of nieces and nephews,
mm-hmm.
usually some kind of like backyard games break out.
Yeah.
This year we played some baseball,
mm-hmm.
which I think we've done that before.
Yeah.
But it's,
yeah, I'll definitely have.
It's fun.
It's getting more and more fun because the boys are getting older.
Yes, they're getting older.
It's like real competition now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can all like hit and throw.
Yeah.
And they can do all that.
Yeah.
And,
it's not like all you uncles against like 5-year-olds anymore.
Right. Yeah. Yes, that's getting really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I still gotta, it used to be like I had to get out there to kind of put them in their place.
Sure.
And show them.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
you're not.
No,
yeah.
No, no.
Yeah. I've still got it.
You're not all
but
that. I'm still the cool uncle.
Still the cool uncle. But I'm noticing that I'm just like, my reflexes are slowing down.
Oh, no.
It's just,
that's so sad.
It's so interesting to. Like to do something that I used to do and like feel like I'm just slower. I don't react the way I used to react.
Sure. Oh, that is a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was still fun.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys win?
It kind of ended abruptly when some of the kids just wanted to go swimming.
Yeah.
So we were playing and they were like, all right, we're going to go swimming.
Okay. I guess we're done. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know who was winning. What else has happened? I feel like Izzy, she said something funny recently.
She did. So she, what was it that she was even doing
so
to get our...
I remember now.
Okay.
Yeah. So they were outside.
Yes.
And normally like...
Oh, yes.
And at first I was like, because she was just standing at the front door knocking.
Yeah.
And it was like the glass storm door.
Mm-hmm.
She can see in. She could just walk in.
Right. She knows how to open the door.
Yeah. Just come inside.
Yeah.
But she just stood there like knocking.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to the door and I opened it up. And she goes, Dad, I was trying to get your attention.
Your attention.
And then she said,
so
on
cute.
Me.
I yes. Think. Yep.
She goes, I just wanted your attention on me.
Attention on me.
And I thought that was one of the cutest things I've ever heard.
So cute. And about 10 minutes before she did that to you, she said the exact same thing to me because she went up and she rang the doorbell.
Oh, my goodness.
Coming in. And I was like, why are you ringing the doorbell? Because my instinct was like, don't ring the doorbell because Oliver was sleeping.
Oh, sure.
And so I went up and I was like, what? Why did you ring the doorbell? And she was like, I just wanted to get your attention. I was like, oh, okay.
I love
you
that.
You can wake Oliver up. Just go ring the doorbell again.
Oh, my gosh.
It was so cute.
Okay. On this episode, let's talk about words and brains and neural pathways.
Let's do it.
And I think we'll talk about this from a few different angles, but... Specifically, we do want to talk about how the words that we say affect our kids,
mm-hmm.
how they affect their brains, the structure of their brains, the forming of their neural pathways,
mm-hmm.
and how that has potential to affect them long term.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that is super necessary to talk about so that you know about it, because I think if you just go without like learning about it, you don't necessarily think that your words have a lot of significance.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I'm just saying what I feel, but sometimes you need to not say what you feel.
Yeah. And this is actually, side note, this is so important to us that we wrote a kids book dedicated to this.
Yes.
For anybody watching on YouTube.
Can you see it?
It's right behind
Katie.
Yes,
you can. Here it is.
We always have links to all of our things in the show notes. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested, if you've not known that we have a children's book and you're interested, we'll have a link for it. It's called What Does God Say About Me? Declarations for Kids from A to Z.
So cute.
So cute. And it was an idea that you had around the time Nora was born.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe before she was
maybe
born.
Maybe a little
maybe
bit
after,
before, but right around there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's been a long process of actually making it come to life, but we did it. This past December, it happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So it goes through the alphabet, and each letter of the alphabet has a declaration.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm amazing, I'm brave, I'm creative, and so on.
Yep.
All the way through the alphabet. And yeah, it's really important to teach kids while they're young to think good thoughts about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. While we were like preparing for the book to be like ready for print, you know, we had to come up with like a little back of the book blurb, mm-hmm. you know, just a quick, you know, about it.
Yeah.
And just in the process of like researching for the book, we learned that by the time kids are around the age of 7, some people say between the ages of 5 and 7,
mm-hmm.
but around the time kids are like 7 years old, they will have formed their core beliefs about their identity,
mm-hmm.
which is really young.
So young.
Nora's 7.
Right. Which is like, if we had not already done the research that we had, mm-hmm. that would be terrifying.
Sure.
But I do have like a lot of peace just because we know what we know.
Right.
And so that's why we're talking about it and sharing it, because it really has been such a life-changing way of, you know, well, I don't know how to say a life-changing way of life.
Yeah.
It's been a life-changing mindset to have. I'll say that, you know, it's easy to go through life without really thinking much about what you're saying, what mm-hmm. you're thinking. But once you become aware of that and the power that your words and your thoughts have, it's really, while it can be scary at first and overwhelming, because it's like, wow, I talk a lot and I think a lot and this is a lot to manage.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually just, I mean, it's so worth it to take those thoughts captive and become in control of those thoughts and those words that you say, and know that, you know, you have the power to create and you have the power to destroy. So what you going to do? Which side are you going to pick?
Yeah. And now to give hope to anybody who's listening to this thinking, oh no, my kids are older than that.
Sure.
They're already 7 or they're much older, mm-hmm. and I've not been super intentional about this, or I haven't thought a lot about this. The good news is that at any point in your life, brains can be rewired.
Mm-hmm.
Neural pathways can be like reformed.
Yeah.
So that's the good news.
Right.
Now, the bad news is that the longer you have lived with certain like thought patterns
mm-hmm.
and beliefs and like patterns of behavior too, the harder it can be to rewire those.
Sure.
So here's what, for anybody listening who is not familiar with this concept, here's what a neural pathway is in simplicity. It's the part of your brain where information travels,
mm-hmm.
specifically related to thoughts and feelings and actions.
Mm-hmm.
And the more, or the greater the emotion attached to like an event or a thought or something like that,
mm-hmm.
the greater the emotion, the more impact it has on the neural pathway.
Sure.
Which is why like trauma is a really big deal.
Yeah.
And why like really traumatic events affect people so deeply.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine we were like in the woods and we wanted to form a path. You could form a path in a sense just by like walking the same exact way.
Yeah.
If you do that over and over again, eventually the ground is going to wear. Anything that was growing there is mm-hmm. going to get kind of trampled on, and you're going to start to see this path formed.
Yeah. It's kind of like deer paths in the woods. Like if you go, you kind of see like these natural, where it's obviously not like a man-made dug out by a machine, but mm-hmm. it's a clear path that's been
walked over
multiple
and over
times.
Again.
Yeah.
And so the easier, or the more a path gets walked on, the easier it is to see, but also the easier it is to travel on that path.
You're right, yeah.
So if you're in the woods and you see a path that's been kind of carved out by previous hikers mm-hmm. or whatever, then you're probably going to want to take that path rather than trying to form your own.
Right, yeah.
And that's essentially how neural pathways work, in that the more often you have a thought, the more a thought is repeated, mm-hmm. the more frequently it's repeated, the easier of a time that thought is going to have traveling.
Right.
And again, same thing with like emotions and even patterns of behavior mm-hmm. and like the habits that we form.
Yeah. And the more easily that thought or belief is accepted mm-hmm. as well, like you said, there doesn't like, or the more easily it travels.
Yes. There's so that less means
like
resistance.
Less resistance, more like, or less like, wait a minute, I don't know if that's true. And it's just accepted really mm-hmm. easily. The more that thought is processed and goes down that same pathway.
Yep.
And it's not just you saying those things over yourself. It can also be somebody else saying mm-hmm. it over you, which is why we're talking about what we're talking about now, is parents specifically speaking over your kids, because our voices speak really loudly into their yep. lives. And so, yeah, those thoughts can, they travel so easy because it's being accepted and yep. not meeting any type of resistance.
Yeah. And it's one thing now that like I'm an adult, I have pretty much settled for the most part into my identity mm-hmm. as far as like I've sought like God's perspective of me.
Right.
Because I want to think about myself the way he thinks about me, which again is why we wrote the kids book
yes.
that we wrote. It's all about like, what does God say about me? It's mm-hmm. teaching our kids to think about themselves the way God does.
Yes.
Because he's the creator and he's ultimately the one who gets to tell us who we are.
Mm-hmm.
But kids don't have that foundation.
Right.
They've not spent years reading the Bible mm-hmm. and like praying and asking the Holy Spirit to tell them who they are.
Yeah.
They have us to tell them who they are. Mm-hmm. And they're going to believe us.
Yes.
Regardless of what we say,
right.
good or bad.
Yeah.
Whatever we say about our kids to them, they're going to believe us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And without that foundation of the truth from the word, from mm-hmm. what God says, if we don't get to them first, as we've talked about in past yeah. episodes, the influence of the world is going to come in.
Yep.
So that's what they're going to hear first. So as parents, our goal, our personal goal as parents is to put the truth of God's word in there first
mm-hmm.
so that any type of influence from the world is the stuff that meets resistance rather than the truth of the word meeting resistance on the way in because they've been established in the world.
Yeah.
So how amazing is that, that we can get that first influence and say, actually, no, this is who God says you are.
Mm-hmm. I read some interesting statistics recently. One that I found interesting was that in order for a relationship to thrive, mm-hmm. I'm guessing between two adults, in order for a relationship to thrive, there has to be a 5-to-1 ratio of like positive to negative words.
Okay.
Which, and that's actually a smaller number than I've heard.
I was
in the
about
past.
To say,
in
I think that's smaller.
I've heard
yeah.
like 10-to-1.
Mm-hmm.
That to say, like the positive words that we hear from the people around us need to far outweigh the negative mm-hmm. in order for relationships to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's the same with us and our kids too, mm-hmm. in that for our relationships to thrive and really for like our connection to thrive.
Yeah.
The way we speak about them, like it has to be, the positive has to so far outweigh the negative.
Mm-hmm.
And actually you had a recent conversation with Nora about this that was very eye-opening for both of us.
Yes.
Would you share that?
Oh, yeah. So the other day, I think I was getting ready. We were going somewhere and I was in the bathroom getting ready and the girls started arguing about something. I think they were fighting over like a foam roller or something
yes.
that like just, it's dumb, it's, you know? And I feel like every time it comes out, they argue over it. And I'm like,
this isn't even
yours. It's not even a toy. But anyways, moving on. So they were arguing about it. And Nora came up and she was like, Mom, like she won't let me take a turn. And I was like, that's because you're acting like a fool. You know, just like,
yeah,
it was like meant mostly in jest, mm-hmm. you know, but at the same time, I was like, you're being ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just move on. Like yeah. it's a foam roller. Go find something better to play with.
Yeah.
And she like literally just kind of like rolled on her back. She was already like laying on the floor. She like rolled on. She was like, you never compliment me. And I was like,
I know, we were both like,
I was like, never?
Yeah.
And
there was a part of me that was like, okay, like, give this a minute.
Yeah. No, I had to not
because
say anything.
My instant reaction, my instant thought was like, that's a ridiculous claim.
Right.
We compliment you guys all the time. But at the same time, that's what she said.
Yep.
So and I'm guessing that's how she felt.
Yep.
So.
Yes, those were literally the exact same thoughts. Because I was like, that's not true. I need to prove you wrong in this moment. But I was like, nope, I've learned better than that. But that doesn't work to say you're wrong. You're feeling wrong. Because like you said, that was obviously how she was feeling in that moment. So I kind of took a second and I just kind of let it sit. And I kept getting ready, but my head was like spinning. I was like, okay, if she's not hearing, and I was having an emotional day anyway, so I kind of started crying about it. And I was like, if my kid is not thinking that I'm complimenting her ever, like, whoa, something is off here. I'm going to start crying about it now. But, and so I like took a second. I was like, okay, I'm just going to go ask her. Mm-hmm. And I went over and I said, hey, baby, I was like, does that really feel true that like I don't ever compliment you? And she was like, well, no, you know, so she kind of recanted that. And she was like, no, I know that's not true. And I was like, yeah, but like, did it feel like that though? And she was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And like right now it did. I think it's something like what she said. And I just apologized. Like, I was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, when I said that, like, I did not want that to make you feel the way that it made you feel. Like, that was not my intention. I said, but I fully, you know, I apologize for that. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have said that. I was like, I don't ever want you to think that that's really what I feel about you. And it's like, I want you to know that you're amazing. I think you're brilliant. And I just said, you know, just started declaring life over her.
Yeah.
And she just like melted, you know, and because I had her sitting, I think she was sitting next to me, but then she like climbed into my lap and just like,
yeah,
kind of like melted into me. And I was like, oh, and I'm trying to remember what else we said, but it was just like, it was one of those moments that I was like, whoa. And I just, I told her, I was like, I'm going to do better. I was like, I will do a better job of not saying things, because we've tried to make a distinction of like, instead of saying you are this, saying you are being this.
Yeah.
If they're acting out, mm-hmm. if they're acting contrary to who we know they are, like, hey, you are being this way right now. It's not who you are. But I think from that conversation, clearly there's room for improvement.
Yeah.
And so I told her, I was like, I'm going to do better. I'm going to stop saying, you know, these things. And I invited her to call me out on it. I was like, I give you permission to tell me. Mm-hmm. If I say something that hurts your feelings or makes you feel, you know, negatively in any certain way.
Yeah.
And it was a really good, really good eye-opening conversation for us.
Very eye-opening.
Yeah. And I think with Nora, like, like if you who are listening, if you have a kid who seems to be similar in the way that they focus more on the negative than the positive things that you're saying, even if you are complimenting them, you feel like all the time. And it's like, okay, why is this not settling in? Why is this not sinking in? I think just a helpful reminder is that like you are planting seeds. Mm-hmm. You are doing what you need to be doing by speaking life. So don't let that, like, don't let yourself grow weary in, you know, in saying like, I'm not seeing the fruit of this. So this must just not be working. Mm-hmm. Keep going, because you are building your, I feel like it's just like small building blocks to creating a really firm foundation of truth being spoken into your kid. It's going to make a difference, even if you don't see the fruit for a couple years. Mm-hmm. Like it's doing something.
Yes.
A lot happens like underground, if you will.
Yeah. Yep. Keep working at it. Keep speaking well of your kids, not just to them, but even like about them to other people.
Yep.
Get used to like building that habit of speaking well of them.
Yeah.
Also, just on that topic, especially in light of your story, if your kid says something to you, believe them. Mm-hmm. It would have been so easy for us to form an argument and turn into attorneys who are trying to prove her case wrong, why it's untrue that we never compliment her.
Mm-hmm.
And that just would have been so unhelpful.
Yeah.
And when your kid says something, believe them. And then you can ask some questions. You can start to dig.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask, you know, by asking questions, you may help them come to a place where they realize, actually, no, that wasn't really true.
Yeah.
You know, but if they're feeling a certain way and they're acting on that and they're speaking out of that feeling, then like believe them because there's something going on there.
Right. Yeah. Kids don't lie about feelings, especially when they're young, like this young, like you said, in those formative years, in that like 5 to 7 age range, like if they're feeling it, it is, you know, that's a real feeling to them in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's worth it to take the time to get to the bottom of it and see what you can do as the parent to repair the situation, what you can do just to show your kid that they're seen and heard and important enough to you to actually take the time to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Couple thoughts. The first is, let's say you have something like our children's book. Again, shameless plug.
Yep.
We've had friends and people reach out to us and just say, like, we just want you to know, like, our kid requests that we read your book every single day.
Yeah, which is
which I love.
So fun. Yeah.
Because, like, we want to provide content that's actually, like, helpful to people. And we do find that this is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But our encouragement is, if you are doing something like reading a kid's book like ours, like, once a day, that, like, one singular event is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we think our kids' book is a good resource because it's helpful to lay a foundation and to give some ideas of like how God sees our kids and how we want them to think about themselves.
Yeah.
But, and I can tie this back to a recent episode where we talked about like the chronos of our lives and the kairos and like in the sequential passing of time between the significant events and opportunities that take place, that's when like real growth happens.
Right.
For the most part.
Yes.
It's in the mundane parts of life and it's in the unseen parts of life.
Yeah.
It's not the stuff that's on social media that you're putting, that you're posting on social media. It's not happening from a stage or from a platform. It's just the everyday conversations that you have with your spouse and with your kids, the way you talk to them just throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to have the most significant impact.
Yeah.
So yes, do things, have daily declarations or affirmations, have resources like that, things that you do every day, but also let it be not just an event that happens once or twice a day, but let it be a lifestyle that takes place throughout your day, every day.
Yeah. And that looks like if you have multiple kids and your older or younger sibling does something helpful, say like, wow, that was really helpful of you. Like, I saw that you made an effort there. Mm-hmm. Just recognizing little behaviors that are seemingly insignificant, but like is something good that they did, like encouraging them in those good things and saying, hey, I saw that. That was awesome. You know, just it takes no effort.
Yep.
It takes no time. It's so fast, but it makes their little hearts just light up.
Yeah, with kids, it does wonders for their brains to hear parents, to hear adults or other people compliment them and notice when they do something right, when they do something well.
Yeah.
It can be so easy as a parent to get super critical and constantly point out all the things that they're doing wrong because there's a lot of them. They're kids. They're great at doing things wrong.
Yes, yeah.
They're great at messing up and making mistakes. Mm-hmm. They're great at being annoying. They don't need to be reminded continually about those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I get like there's a place for correction.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a way to do that. But one of our things that we want to encourage our listeners with is get used to and like build a habit of noticing when your kids do things well, when they do things right, and make sure you let them know.
Yes.
Make sure you thank them for doing things well. Make sure you just bring attention to whatever it is, even if it seems insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
Those little things, like you said before, those little moments, those little words are like seeds that get planted. And over time, if they hear those things enough times, it's going to form these pathways in their brain, and it's going to create, honestly, for young kids, in some ways, we're setting up potentially how the rest of their life is going to go.
Right. Yeah. Because you're not just speaking words.
Yeah.
You know, you are helping them set up thought patterns.
Yeah.
In their head. So like, as parents, we have a huge amount of influence over them because mm-hmm. you spend a huge amount of time with them. And so you are helping them create their thought life and
yeah.
what that sounds like and mm-hmm. what that looks like by the words that you say.
Yeah.
So if you like, I mean, I know as a woman, thought life is like, like pinballing, like it's yeah. everything, and it snowballs so quickly too. Like thoughts that it's like if I hear somebody say like, well, that was stupid, you know, I'm like, mm-hmm. oh shoot, was that stupid? Like, am I stupid? Mm-hmm. Have I ever done this before? And like my mind starts mm-hmm. reeling instantly. And so it's so important to like learn how to counteract those thoughts. And as parents, we are there to be able to set up positive thoughts for them to be able to counteract those negative thoughts or words spoken over them
mm-hmm.
or the opposite.
Yeah.
We can set up the negative thoughts in their brains as well of like, well, mom has said that like, you know, I'm not good at that. And so I must not be good at that. When in reality, what if they are really good at that, but they're actually stopping themselves from sure. reaching their potential because they have this thought pattern in their head.
Yep.
And so we have, as parents, we have the power to set them up for success or set them up for failure in their thought life.
Yeah, for sure. And again, that's not to say that brains and neural pathways can't be
right.
reformed and rewired.
Yes.
It's just that it becomes an uphill battle
mm-hmm.
at a certain point.
Right.
And so we don't want to set our kids up to have an uphill battle
mm-hmm.
for the rest of their life, trying to believe true things about themselves
yeah.
and good things about themselves.
Right.
We want to create the path of least resistance for mm-hmm. those thoughts. And we want those thoughts to be very normal.
Yes.
For our listeners, we know that you're not going to get this perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to mess up. You're going to say things to your kids that are going to damage your connection with them.
Yep.
That are going to make them question your love for them. That's going to happen.
Yep.
We have all done it. It's just the reality that like we're going to rupture the relationship
yeah.
at some point. But yeah. when you do say the wrong thing, mm-hmm. when you do the wrong thing, be prepared to repair it.
Yes.
Take a minute to slow down, stop mm-hmm. what you're doing, make that connection, apologize, find out what's going on
yep.
with the kid. What do they need from you?
Mm-hmm.
Give them what they need.
Yep.
Repair that connection.
Absolutely. It reminds me of that, the Japanese art. Now I can't remember the like technical term for it, but where they repair things like broken ceramics yeah. and glasses with gold.
Yeah.
But, like that's a really beautiful picture that you can kind of
yeah.
Think about whenever you have those rupture and repair moments, that when things are broken, when that connection is broken, you can come back and you can show your kid, hey, you know, mm-hmm. I'm going to walk through this with you because I did, you know, own up to it
yeah.
and repair the moment. And repair that connection. And it really, like, it feels like gold. It looks like gold, you know, yeah. whenever you have those moments with your kid. Like, I'm just starting to tear up again thinking about that moment with Nora the other day. Because it really, like, it hit me hard when she said that. Because
mm-hmm.
I was like, whoa, okay. I need to do something here. Like, some yeah. type of action needs to be taken. And that coming back together time.
Mm-hmm.
I could have sat in that hug for the rest of my life and been totally fine because
yeah.
it just felt, I was like, okay, thank you, Jesus, that you are good, that you are with us in our mistakes, that mm-hmm. you don't leave us, you know, to do this on our own. And so that's another just good reminder that God is so good.
Yeah.
And if you are willing to take the steps to repair those moments where we all have and we all mess up, like that he's going to make it so beautiful
yeah.
and that connection stronger and stronger.
Yep. All right. That's our episode.
There it is.
Okay. We have a couple favors to ask for everybody listening. First, if you're listening on any audio platform like Apple or Spotify, if you have found any value in our content, if you could do us a huge favor and leave us a good review, that's a very small thing that you can do that helps us in a really big way. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, If you could like this video and subscribe, it's again another very small thing that you can do that helps us in a really big way. But that's going to be it for this episode.
Alrighty.
Okay. Once again, my name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're making history. We'll see you next time.